If you got your Bible tonight, I want to share with you some things that are just what's been on my heart. I thought is living in the light of eternity. And I'll tell you, as I begin to study this, I'll share with you hopefully some of the things that God showed me. But you ever thought about that? The Bible teaches us that our life is a vapor. And the Bible also teaches us that eternity is out in front of us. It's hard for us to imagine it. Sometimes we start reading the Word of God and looking at things, and could you imagine a time when, like the Bible talks about, when there's no time? Time is for us. But I want to read some scripture to you in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. I want to begin in the I want to begin in the 18th verse, and I'm going to read down into the 5th verse. And I've touched on this scripture a few times. Obviously can't do any type of exhaustive teaching on it or preaching on it tonight, but just share some thoughts with you. But think about it as we read, and pay particular attention as we read to this 18th verse in the 4th chapter. That's what we're going to come back to. But it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 18, since the scripture says, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." And then Paul, he begins to write, and listen to what he says. He says, "We know that if our earthly house, our body, of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan," or we sigh, "or we desire earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. For if so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked." Now what that means is without a body. It says, "For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit." Now that's big S, the Spirit of God. "Therefore we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight." And then the 8th verse says, "We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." Now here's the point, and this is what Paul's trying to get us to see and understand. To be absent from the body as a Christian is to be present with the Lord. I can remember sitting and talking to my dad when he was sick. We'd talk about this. Now, he would remind me, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Now, the scripture says, I want to go back and read this 18th verse again. That's what I want to really think about. It says, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." And this is what I begin to think about today. You know, a lot of times the only thing people want to believe in is something tangible. That's something that they can hold in their hand. You know, that's why a lot of times it's hard for people to believe in Christ or become a Christian, because there's not a whole lot of tangible things. They want to believe in something that they can see. That's why so many people are, and this is the way it works sometimes in this archaeology, when they're trying to tell us that we come from some type of an ape man. Do you know, and I begin to study some of this, what they created an entire human being from one tooth. I don't know how in the world, but they know how tall he was. They know what type of curvature he had to his back. They know where he lived, how long he lived, and you know how many, you've heard it millions and millions of years ago. From one tooth. Why? Because they can hold that tooth in their hand. It's tangible. And people look for the tangible evidence. Well, I want to tell you, if you really study apologetics, which is the defense of the Christian faith, folks, there's plenty of tangible evidence. Okay? The Bible has a verse in it that says that if the rocks should cry out, that if these should hold their peace, the rocks would cry out. Now, prophetically, I want to give you just a thought, and then we'll get back into the scripture. You know, a lot of times people have held their peace. And they begin to mock, and they say, well, because the Bible is the only place that, like the Hittite generation, was only mentioned in the Bible, and it's not in textbooks, or it's not in ancient history, then it must not be true. But archaeologists, every time they overturn a spade, or they overturn a rock with a spade, they prove that the Word of God is true. They were digging and they discovered a kingdom, which was the Hittite Empire, that had bricks and mortar and even had their own language, to prove that exactly what was written in the Word of God was true. Folks, there's plenty of tangible evidence. But what it says here in this scripture says, we're not looking at the things which are seen. And here's the point. We're not looking at the tangible things, but we're looking at the things which are not seen. And here's something I want you to understand about everything that can be seen. Everything that can be seen is going to be dissolved. Now you think about it for just a minute. Now, you ever watch those programs? Kind of like we watched one the other day, me and my boys. It was Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. And me and the boys, we sat there and we watched that, you know, and we saw when they learned to talk. And, you know, they come into the city, and I don't know if it was New York or Manhattan or whatever, but when all the cars had moss growing on them. All the buildings were decaying. All the windows were fogged up with dirt. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You know, there is a car dealership right on the corner where I work when you turn into the business park. And back during the recession, when Chrysler closed down car dealerships all over the country, they closed that car dealership. And I wish somebody would move in it. You know why? Because in just a matter of years, it's decaying. The grass is growing up through the parking lot, and the building is starting to look bad. And, you know, every now and then you look over there, and something has fallen off of it. Do you know that the Bible tells us not to lay up treasures upon the earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal? Here's the point. If we go out of this church when Jesus comes, all it would take is time, and everything here would be sitting on the ground. Everything. You know, they have things now and they tell you not to bury it or be careful how you fill the landfills. But I want to tell you, everything on this earth is decaying. Yeah. It's tangible. You know, if the only thing you're looking at and you're holding on to is what you see and what you hold, you're not holding on to much. And what he says, we're not looking at the things which are seen, but we're looking at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. Over in 2 Peter chapter number 3, I want to read just a couple of verses to you. It says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Now, he said, we're not looking at the things which are seen. The things which are seen, they're temporal. And here's the point. This life's temporal. And everything that we have here, it's actually under a curse. You know, just a few years ago, I got to go up and I was preaching to the youth at Macklin. And the only thing I did is I asked them to hold up their hand. And I said, I want you to look at the back of your hand. And then I want you to look at the back of my hand. You see, this body's cursed. But this body's not all that I am, Brother Tommy. See, I'm a soul and I'm a spirit. And the scripture tells me, and I don't have time to read it all tonight. I'm just kind of skimming. But in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, it tells us we're going to have a new body. Amen. And that new body is incorruptible. It's one like Christ. And when we receive it, we're not going to be under a curse anymore. We're not going to be under troubles or pain anymore. But we're going to be like God in the presence of God, because the Bible teaches us to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And when I read what Paul said and what God showed him, and folks, God called him out to show him things to give you and I hope today in the day and time that we live in, that folks, this is not all that there is. Doesn't mean that it's all bad. And I'd like for you to cue up that majesty, if you will, in a minute. We may play that. Because I want you to know God has blessed us here. And you know, we have prayer requests, and God has done so many things. And God can do things. But this is not all. He said, we're not looking at the things which are seen. We're looking at the things which are not seen. Here's the things that are not seen. On the spiritual side. Could you imagine what it would be like if you and I could see across into the spiritual side everything that's there? You study through the Word of God and you remember where the prophet was there and he had the servant. And the king and all the soldiers came, and they were coming after the prophet. And the little servant ran out, and he was afraid because the army was so great. And the prophet said, Lord, open his eyes. And the Lord opened the eyes of the servant, and he was able to see what's in the spirit world. And he said, there were chariots of fire all around us. Do you know that God's all around us taking care of us? That God's in our midst and he's in our presence, and there's nothing that we face that he doesn't know and understand. And what we're doing here today is just temporal. It's just for a short period of time. And what we're supposed to do is honor him and make a liar out of the devil. I heard a story of some missionaries that went into a dark place, into some jungle. And when they got there, they were surrounded by some of the villagers. I'm talking about people that not everybody understands. They got down to pray, thinking that their lives were about to be taken. And they prayed, and when they got up, they said, those people that came to kill us were gone. A year later, they were able to be in this village, and they ministered to those people, and that leader of that village got saved, and they got to the point they could speak to them and asked them, what happened that night? When we were there and you all came and we were sure that you were going to take our lives and you left, what happened? And the village leader, he said, it was all those soldiers standing around your tent with a sword drawn, and we were afraid to come in. You see, the things which are not seen are spiritual. And if we're going to believe the Word of God, we must believe that what he has for us is greater than what's here. You see, the scripture teaches us that eye has not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. Now, folks, I want to play this in just a minute, because I want you to know something. I'm not a miserable person living here. God has given us so much. When I look into the eyes of a little child and see him smile, and I was looking at today, I went into a boy's office, and on his screensaver he had his little girl. She was sitting at the table, and you know how it is. It's the joy of your life. God, give us that. When the leaves begin to turn and we see the beauty of God's creation, God gave us that. All the things that we enjoy, our blessings here, God gave them to us. But I want you to tell you, I want you to understand something that I believe. It does not compare to what God's got prepared for us. Because one thing I believe about heaven with all my heart is you don't have to worry about when you get there if you're going to like it. You don't have to worry about when you get there if it's going to satisfy you. Because when you get there, you're going to be satisfied. It's going to be to the fullest. You know, There's a guy that I want to get to come sing a song, and he plays the guitar with the left hand, and he's not talented as Wilbur and Wilbur. But he sang this song over in my next door neighbor's yard. He said, "If you don't want to serve him, don't hinder me." Amen. You know, sometimes when it gets good in the house of the Lord, I really don't care what people think. I just want to praise God, because, folks, it's just a little bit and a little taste of what God has for us. Amen. On the other side. He said, we don't look at the things that are seen. We're looking at the things that are not seen. Let me give you these. I'm not going to preach these, but I'm going to give you these 4 points. See, here's a person that's living in the light of eternity will have the proper perspective of this life. They'll understand that it's temporal, that it's passing. They're going to have their priorities in order. And they're going to have God where God's supposed to be, and they're even going to have their family where they're supposed to be, because the Bible teaches us how we're supposed to treat our wives and our children based on how we serve Him. They're going to understand their purpose in life. That my purpose is not here for me, for mine, for what I want. It's to be what God wants me to be. It's to find the will and the plan of God for my life. And a person that's living in the light of eternity and understand it, they're going to have made their preparation for eternity. Because eternity is out there in front of us. This life is short. Amen. I want you to play that. After you play it, then we'll pray and dismiss. But I want you to think about this as they play. He plays this about the majesty and the goodness of God. And if you got anything you'd like to talk to the Lord about as He plays it, you certainly can. Amen.
Sanctified by glory and fire. singing bells. Tell them tonight. Forever I am changed by your love. In the presence of your majesty.
The Bible says there is a river. There's going to be a lot of things in heaven that I think that's pretty. I believe what God's got for us, if we could just see it, amen. We will.